May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Let it be. In January of 2002, a hospital in London, England, mistakenly sent letters to 30 unsuspecting patients informing them that they were pregnant. The hospital's computer system, normally used to send out form letters that would tell patients that their operation had been postponed, was in the hands of a clerical worker who hit the wrong key. And so instead of informing a patient of a rescheduled operation, the computer sent out identical form letters telling the recipients they were great with child. This went out, to their surprise, to 6 elderly men. Talk about a great surprise. And that's exactly what we have in our text today. I really like our bulletin cover for today because Mary was probably 13 or 14 years old. She was a little girl who had never had sex with a man, and yet she's being told that she is pregnant, has conceived, and will bear a boy, a son. And who could have imagined that this birth, that this Mary would carry in her womb, would reveal the ultimate truth about our world, about our lives, and about God himself? Who would have thought that? Now, this had to be revealed to us in the Bible, or we would have never understood. We would have never known or figured out what was going on here without it being revealed to us. Praise God that it was. For Mary would carry a child who would turn the world upside down and heal our brokenness. Everything about the gospel is a surprise. For this earth-shattering invasion, that is God come to earth, you would have thought that the baby would have been born in Rome or Athens or Jerusalem, not in little old Bethlehem. But our scripture is set today in a place even more remote than Bethlehem. It's in Nazareth, in the Galilee region. Nazareth was such a little place. And that region was kind of like our Appalachia today. The people were poor. The people had no standing. This backwater place was Mary and Joseph's hometown. It had such a poor reputation that Nathanael in the Gospel of John said, "What good could come out of Nazareth?" Right? Not much. Be like saying, what good could come out of Wartburg? I take that back. There is a message behind the choice of Nazareth and of Bethlehem, and it includes the choice of Mary and Joseph. In the Bible, if you read it carefully, God is always elevating the lowly and bringing down the proud and the arrogant. And Mary was lowly. I already mentioned her age. She was a young teenager. And most likely she was illiterate and soon to be an unwed mother and all of the social outcast that that would mean. She was the very picture of a humble person. And yet God chose her for this assignment. The greatest assignment that had ever come to a person in this world, that she would carry the Son of God in her womb. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled. If an angel came to you, what would you expect them to say right away? Fear not! Because if an angel came to you, would thought, okay, first of all, how do I know it's an angel, right? They're going to kill me. And then again, the angel said, you who are the favored one. Why was she favored? Why was she chosen above all the women of that day, or any day for that matter, to be the mother of the Savior of the world? I think the answer has to do with the word favor itself, because it's also translated to our English word grace. And what is grace? But undeserved, unmerited love of God toward us. In other words, there was no reason for Mary to be chosen, no reason in her and of herself. God stepped into her life, transported her into this assignment, not because there was inherent merit or worthiness in her, but simply because of grace. There was no reason that God chose Mary that we would humanly understand. God loved her, gave her grace. Now she had this asset, she was faithful. She was faithful. Now Mary was naturally confused. How can this be? Because I'm a virgin. She wasn't unbelieving, she was inquiring. How can this be? The child, of course, would be the long-promised Messiah. I don't know if you've ever seen this old Broadway play called Green Pastures. And God is anxiously looking down upon the world, the sin, ever sinful world, growing in sin and destruction and wreckage. And Angel Gabriel, sensing the Lord's dilemma, said, "Lord, is it time for me to blow the trumpet?" Blowing the trumpet means what? The end of the world. "No, no," said the Lord, "don't touch the trumpet yet." But God continued to focus down on the world and to see all the darkness and the sin and the wickedness of people. And so Gabriel asked again, "God, what do you plan to do? Will you send someone like a Moses or a David to tend to the situation? Or how about one of the prophets? How about sending Isaiah or Jeremiah? We got a lot of prophets up here, Lord." Right? "What do you think?" Without looking back at Gabriel, "I'm not going to send anyone. I'm going to go myself." Mary, like all the faithful Jews of that time, would know that the Messiah was to come from David's line. What she certainly didn't comprehend at that moment is that it would be God incarnate. God and man in one person. God and man in that baby. God, who created the laws of nature, can certainly break the laws of nature. The angel reminded Mary that nothing was impossible for God. Here's something interesting. That word "nothing" is literally no word. No word will be impossible for God. That word is the same Greek word in which Mary replies when she says, "Let it be according to your word." Here's the important truth. Whatever God says, God can do. So why the humble circumstances? Why the know-nothing village? The poor, meek little girl? Why the poor carpenter? I believe all these things are the backdrop to make it clear that things cannot be put right without God's intervention. As it says in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." There's no human wisdom, no strength, no political or economic system that can make things right. Remember that in this election year. There's no political system that can make things right in our world. We needed Jesus. We needed His grace. We needed His sacrifice to fix us, to redeem us, and save us from our brokenness. Now, there's some wonderful applications and lessons to be learned from this scripture today, but I just want to focus on two. I will highlight this. Number one, how to deal with stress. And number two, what it means to submit to the Lord. How are you handling stress? And are you submitted to the Lord? I'm asking that question of us today. You know, the stresses of our lives are overwhelming right now. What a year this has been, 2020, right? All kinds of things. Worries, anxieties coming from all directions. Will I get COVID? Will I go to the hospital? Will we be safe? Will we have enough? People losing their jobs. Why am I failing? Why can't I seem to defeat the sin and addiction in my life? All of these with stress, to say nothing of having to be in our home with our loved ones who after a while will get on our nerves, right? Mary must have had tremendous stress. Can you imagine it? I know things didn't make sense for her. But in a sense, aren't we in the same boat as she is? What is God doing in my life? Why are these worrisome things happening in my life? Why am I depressed? Hopefully you can say with me that I don't completely understand things going on in my life, but I do know this, that God is good. That God is good, always good. Romans 8, 31 and 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare up his only son, but give him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs all other things. So we worship through the storms of life. Because Jesus loves us, we say, let it be. We can be freed from that unholy grip of fear that has our lives. The second lesson has to do with submission. Are you submitted to the Lord? You know, we honor Mary because of her courage, conviction, and her submission to the Lord. And we should want to imitate her. Now, in the American Standard Version of the Bible, it translates Mary's answer to Gabriel like this. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. The bondslave. The word bondslave is very important to understanding how Mary responded to the angel. The slavery was all over the world in New Testament times, the time of Jesus. In fact, the Roman population, for instance, the dominant power of that day, had almost three times as many slaves as they did free people, right? Some slaves were captives taken in war. Many people were forced into slavery to pay off their debts. Now, in some instances, a slave so loved his or her master that they voluntarily remained in that slavery to serve them. The person who did this was called a bond slave. They remained in servitude out of love, not out of obligation. And this is the way Mary saw her relationship with God. She would willingly give up the agenda of her life, which she certainly did, right, and submit herself to his will. So I ask again, are you submitting to the Lord? One sign that shows that we're maturing is and growing in the Lord is that quiet confidence that God is in control in every way in my life, in every situation. And that we don't need to understand necessarily, it would help, but we don't need to know what he's doing in our lives. We just obey his word because we know it's best. We are bondservants, bondslaves. God, whatever your agenda is for my life, I will receive and accept. I will follow you. You know, I grew up in the era of the Beatles, the singing group, not the little pesty bugs. We had those too. And I've used this, I liked a lot of their songs, you know, I Want to Hold Your Hand. But I picked Let It Be, of course, because it fits here. It's what Mary said. But I would change the lyrics in a significant way. Their version. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be. I won't sing it for you, all right? I would replace Mother Mary with Jesus Christ. And then I think it becomes a true hymn. When I find myself in times of trouble, Jesus Christ comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be. In the hours of darkness, he is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Whispering words. That's the Spirit's work. Whispering words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Mary is a great example of trusting in the Lord and becoming one who submits to him. We should imitate her. In the name of Jesus and to his glory. Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.